renunciation in action. Thought, desire and action emanate from vasanas like a video projection from a compact disc. Every being acts according to its own vasanas. A human alone amongst all living beings has the choice of action. Other living creatures are denied the freedom to act apart from their inherent nature. A tiger is ferocious. It can never be meek and mild. It must strike and kill, whereas a cow is docile by nature, far from destructive. Animals thus live through a choiceless pattern of life. An animal fulfills its vasanas in the realm of activities into which it's born. Following its determined course, an animal neither evolves nor devolves, but a human enjoys freedom of action. He could be most sacrificial to the society or be extremely harmful. He could consciously exhaust his vasanas and rise to greater heights of perfection, or accumulate vasanas and sink to lower depths of degradation. The choice to evolve or devolve is rendered possible because a human possesses the unique faculty of self-effort. Self-effort gives the freedom of action independent of vasanas. The present vasanas set the pattern of one's life, but self-effort can modify or change the pattern. This is a prerogative a human being alone enjoys. Exercising the choice of action, you must first select a field of activity conducive to your vasanas. From early childhood, you display a distinct interest, a leaning towards a particular branch of life. It may be science or literature, philosophy or medicine, any field of activity. You would do well to choose the field of your interest. Activities which are consistent with your inherent nature are called swadharma, whereas those which are alien to your nature are paradharma. Swadharma activity helps you progress, evolve in life, while paradharma activity is detrimental, causing you to regress, devolve. People commit the fundamental mistake of choosing an alien field of activity because they have inherited it or it's just convenient for them to do so. The scripture warns you against this error in life. It will not be in your interest to choose a field of activity alien to your nature. While choosing a field compatible to your nature would promote your material and spiritual growth. Having chosen the appropriate field, you must execute the right actions in life. This is important since you are given the choice of action. The general trend in human activity is to indulge in personal feeling. Attraction and repulsion seem to initiate your actions. You ought not to let your likes and dislikes determine your life's activities. There is a grave error in letting your emotional feelings take over your life thus. Likes and dislikes manifesting without discretion could turn out to be your worst enemy. If you feed them indiscriminately, you court destruction. Your actions need proper direction. The intellect should guide your likes and dislikes in every action. Do as your reason bids you. What you like to do may be opposed to what you ought to do in life. Perhaps, says Thomas Huxley, the most valuable result of all education is the ability to make yourself do the thing you have to do when it ought to be done, whether you like it or not. It is the first lesson that ought to be learned, and however early a person's training begins, it is probably the last lesson a person learns thoroughly. If you wish to live up to the dignity of a human being, your intellectual judgment rather than your emotional impulse should be the guiding factor in activity. Those whose activities yield to mere emotions reduce themselves to the status of lower beings. Satan tried to tempt Jesus Christ with all sorts of worldly attractions to lure him away from his spiritual stance. Christ would have nothing to do with those temptations. His response to Satan turned out to be a great message to humanity. Get thee behind me, Satan, I will have none at thy hands. Christ's mission was divine. His intellect stood by his noble mission. So must you relate to the world. Never yield to its temptations. Stand firm. Do not allow them to obstruct your mission in life. There is nothing wrong in transacting with the world, but ensure that your worldly affairs do not impair your progress in life. When they entice you away from your mission, you should take the grand stand of the Lord. In exercising your choice of action, remember that no act can be labeled virtuous or vicious per se. It would not be proper to classify certain acts as righteous and others as unrighteous. Virtue and vice is a thing of the heart. Good or bad actions have to do with the state of your mind and not with your gross physical actions. To reform yourself, therefore, it is not your body but your mind that has to be rehabilitated, reconstituted. In a real life incident, a man pulled out an automatic in a crowded restaurant and mercilessly shot down scores of people. Another person behind him chanced to have a gun with him. He shot the killer down. Now examine their actions. The actions were the same. One was a mass homicide, other was an act of service to the rest exposed to death. It is the intention that makes an action virtuous or vicious. Work is best when done impersonally. No sooner one asserts his selfish ego, work is spoilt. Thus, should your mind be unattached to the work you perform, fix your mind upon your divine self within while you work. Be objective in what you do. Do not get mentally entangled in the affairs of the world. You must learn to live in your home, your office, society, as an impersonal witness. Never get mixed or attached to them. People believe that when they do not get attached and involved in worldly matters, they cannot work, progress in life. It is an erroneous concept. The truth is the opposite. The moment you get entangled in the world, your work suffers. Whereas when your ego, your little self is absent, when you are unattached and impersonal, work turns out perfect. You progress in life. Look at the world as a witness. it becomes a source of enjoyment. Get entangled in the activities of the world, it turns into a misery. Therefore, learn to perform your action detachedly. Find joy in work itself, not in the result. The fruit of labor cannot bring you any more happiness than labor itself. Yet, the world believes the result obtained provides more joy than work. Reflect carefully. Do not give undue importance to applause or censure, success or failure. Try to understand the futility of material pursuit. Objects gained by your effort only mislead you. Be not concerned with the fruit of action. Just carry on with what you ought to do. Then alone you find true fulfillment in life.